Welcome back. Entering the Fun for All Friday portion of the program this morning. And we are excited to have joining us now an award-winning director, producer, actress, writer. She does it all these days. You may remember her most, only because I think you probably played the role longer than any other role, as Mary Ellen Walton, joining us via telephone this morning. Judy Norton, good morning.
Good morning.
So great to have you with us this morning to talk about your newest project. And before I get to that, I want to bring people, I guess, up to speed a little bit. You were on the Waltons, really from its inception, from what ended up being the pilot of the series, the Homecoming, A Christmas Story movie, correct?
That's right, yeah.
So you basically,
it was originally just a Christmas movie.
You basically grew up portraying someone who grew up in an era before you. And we've been lamenting all morning about the current era that we're living in this country and how things have changed. And is there any respect or honor or decorum left amongst us all anymore? What was that like back in the 70s when you were playing Mary Ellen, knowing that you were already kind of having to project values that had departed our society?
Well, since I was fairly young at the time, I mean, I was 13 when we started, when I started working on the show, I don't know that I had that broader picture. Mm-hmm. You know, it was if the younger generation can imagine an era without social media and without internet and, you know, all of that, you tended to live more in a, not in a bubble, but, you know, we were a little more isolated from everything going on around the world. I mean, yes, of course, we had television and news and stuff, but mm-hmm. You weren't aware of everything that was happening as if it was next door. So the family unit, I think, was a bit more in play still. It was just, I think, the 60s, 70s were sort of when I think that started to break down more, and families, you know, members mm-hmm. of the family were going all their separate ways and stuff. So, what was interesting about doing that was it was kind of like a living history lesson. You know, I learned so much about the 30s and 40s from doing that show. And, you know, the messages from the Waltons were sort of universal. I think they ring true today just as they did in the 70s, as they did in the 30s and 40s that we were portraying, in that the core values are still things that I think a lot of people aspire to and really try to emulate within their lives. And I think if people can simplify in that way and just look at what are really the most important things in our lives, you know, I think you come down to the same things, you know, the love, the support of your family, your friends, your community, and, you know, being there for each other. And, all of that is, I still think, what the average person really aspires to.
Well, I think that's a great observation. And I do think my sense for it from the outside, looking in on the show as it was on television, was exactly that one of the reasons that it became the hit it did was because people felt that they were losing their grip on that traditional tight-knit, close-knit family situation in a lot of ways, and that was a way to kind of experience it in the then virtual world of television.
Yeah, I agree. I think so many people I've heard from over the years talked about how that was the time Thursday night, 8 o'clock, when the family came together and, you know, and watched a show together and shared that time. And I don't know that that happens a lot anymore.
No, less and less, it certainly feels like. So moving forward in your career, after the Waltons, you did a whole lot of things. And one could argue that, you know, now that you are a successful director and producer and writer, in addition to actress, that this is probably the pinnacle of Judy Norton's career. How's it feel, and how different is it from the days when you just had to learn the lines and go in and do your acting part?
Oh, it's so much more complicated to just show up and just, you know, just go, okay, I just need to be prepared as an actor. Certainly a lot more responsibility when I take on additional roles like writing or producing or directing. And but I still kind of have to, you know, put one hat on and then take it off and put the other one on, and just kind of keep them a bit separated so that, you know, I fully focus on what I need to do for each one at any given time. I mean, the things that I've been doing, you know, to top the success and longevity of something like the Waltons is virtually impossible. You know, you just, mm-hmm. those types of long-term, you know, major international successes don't come along that often. So a lot of the things that I've done since, despite the fact that they've been tremendously satisfying from a creative standpoint, you know, may not have gotten the same sort of, you know, recognition, but, you know, I find it exciting to be more involved in the creative process and have that kind of input to the overall vision of a project. You know, that keeps me inspired to, you know, to get up and work every day.
Sure. And I just find it striking the difference. We have the opportunity on occasion to talk to other celebrities that were on television or involved in Hollywood in about that same time period. And particularly the young people, the child actors, actresses, as the industry, I guess, has termed them now, of which you obviously were. Some, for whatever reason, seem to get bumped off course at some point, and others take it through to a series of new experiences and new things, as you have. And I wonder what that transition was like when ultimately The Waltons was done. And I know there's been a number of movies and follow-up movies which you've been in, but when the series ended and you were kind of left out there with that lack of weekly fame and notoriety and all those kinds of things, what was that transition like?
Well, it was kind of like starting over, you know. Mm-hmm. But I guess it's a little of what people, you know, I mean, I obviously didn't have like a normal, you know, childhood experience because I was, you know, on set. But there I was sort of in my early 20s going, okay, now what am I going to do with my life, you know? Which is, I guess, what most young people go through. You know, they get out of school in, you know, some early to mid-20s and have to go, okay, now what am I doing with my life? You know, I have whatever training or experience so far, and then you have to go out and create your life. And so it was a little like that, that going, okay, well, this is now chapter two. And there was definitely, you know, definitely a transition, and it took a while to kind of figure out fully what direction I wanted to go. And then I've just kind of continued to add elements, and I think that's true for anybody in any field, is that you need to keep keep growing your environment as, you know, as the world around you changes, to look, you know, assess it and you know, reinvent yourself if that's the case, or, you know, add to your skill set so that you continue to not, you know, fall behind, you know, the advances that are happening all around us. So, you know, it took me a while to figure that out, and then to find what I enjoyed and what I could continue to be passionate about. And I think so much of it is really about finding how you know, finding yourself and, you know, your own personal confidence and what satisfies you as an individual, and that not having to be linked to outside validation. You know, that's nice, mm-hmm. when people like your work and applaud your work or whatever, but if you can't be satisfied with yourself when it's just you, then you're going to have trouble, because you're going to be constantly seeking the next thing that everybody else approves of, and that's just, you know, I think a difficult road to walk.
Judy, as you started to develop, you know, as a writer, as a producer, as I look through the list of acting credits, it just never ends in a lot of ways. But a lot of the roles and a lot of the either series or films may not, you know, come immediately to mind for most people. It would appear from the outside looking in like you said, all right, this is a good skill set I got. I can go back to that. I can lean on that whenever I want as I develop some of these other areas.
True. Yeah. And I've been fortunate enough to be able to combine a lot of it when I did. I grew up in theater, really, before I even did the Waltons. I was doing theater and musical theater. And so when the Waltons ended, I kind of picked that back up, and that led mm-hmm. to working with a theater company for 8 years up in Canada as part of the writing and directing team. And that's where uh-huh. I started adding. You know, I was working behind the scenes for 8 years, never, ever got on stage there. I was just part of the creative team. And that sort of gave me that initial foray into the writing and directing and producing. And then that I was able to branch out into starting to write some film and television. And so this new film, Inclusion Criteria, is actually the third film that I've had produced as a writer. It's the first one to have been released. So the other two very well may also be out this year. So it could be a very big year for me, like, you know, on screen with projects that I've minimally written and done an acting role in. This one, Inclusion Criteria, is really I'm the star of this one. So that is, you know, that's been really exciting to sort of have my first starring role in a project that I also wrote.
Yeah, well, and I've watched the trailer at this point. It is engaging, and it sucks you in, and I have to go get my copy now.
Great.
It looks like I was trying to put a word on how do I describe this in a couple of words. Is it best categorized as a thriller or as a drama, or how would you put that?
I kind of wrote it thinking psychological thriller.
Okay.
You know, suspense thriller, that sort of genre. It's kind of a mind game, you know. People, an audience, you know, can't help but try to figure out what's going on. You know, my character Tara is experiencing some very disturbing phenomenon around her. Things are going missing, things are being misplaced, and she doesn't know if someone is stalking her and manipulating her environment for some sinister reason she can't understand, or whether she is literally going insane, as her mother did. So she's terrified that she's slipping down that path, and you know, to kind of look at those two potential options and go, well, I don't know, which one do I hope it is?
Yeah.
It's like it's not a winning situation. It raises some really interesting questions, I think, for the audience, and I'm hoping that people will continue to talk about it and ask questions about the circumstances that I have kind of, you know, crafted here, you know, which was my purpose in mm-hmm. doing it.
What was the driving force behind your storyline there? Is there some message you're hoping to get out to people? Was it just something that was intriguing to you, or what?
Yeah, I mean, without, you know, major spoilers, I can't say exactly
okay.
what it was, because it really is the core of the story. But it was something I had heard about in, you know, whether I can't even remember, it was year, you know, a number of years back, I'd come across this particular scenario, and I found it really disturbing, and, you know, it sort of shocked me, and I went, really? Really? You know, and it sort of just stayed with me. And then I was having a conversation with my director, Josh Hodgins, and we were talking about different genres, and, you know, thriller, psychological dramas kind of came up, and I went, I have this idea, and I mentioned it to him. He said, I love that. If you ever do it, I would love to be involved. And so several months later, we were meeting again, and I said, I really think I'm going to write this. And he said, okay, well, if you star in it, I'll direct it. And I said, okay. So then I started writing it. This was like January of 2016, and we were able to shoot it right at the end of that year, and then it's, you know, it's been kind of all of the post, you know, planning and wrapping it up and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so now here we are, ready to it opens today in Los Angeles for a limited engagement out here.
Cool.
And
all right.
So I'm really, really excited because, you know, I have some friends going today, so I'm going to go and go with them and you know, kind of just take in their reactions, you know, during the film and after. And so,
that
you know, it's just so cool, yeah, to get to that culmination, you know, with all the work I did on stage, you know, when I wrote, mm-hmm. directed, I got to see it right away. You know, this is now
yeah.
a year later.
It's like, oh, almost forgot that was still out there. Hey, all right, let's get back to it and see the final product. So the dynamic of being a writer or producer, when I was in forensics in high school, Judy, they told me one thing when I went to state one year, and they told me, do not ever perform your own writing because it's really too hard. You end up affixed to your own interpretation rather than what really should be there. How is that for you to actually perform the very same screenplay that you wrote?
Well, when I started to approach it as the actor, it was very much I had to do the same homework that I do for any role, except I had the advantage of knowing more of the backstory and knowing I didn't have to go, well, I wonder what the writer meant here, what the writer was going for, what this scene is about. Because as a writer, I never want to micromanage a performer's how their take on a film. I like to see what they bring because they'll add elements I didn't even think of as a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And I also really trusted my director. So there were times where, I mean, we were so tight. It was like we were sharing the same mind there as we were working, because I would often do takes and think, oh, you know, I'd feel like really good about it, how it played as an actor. And he'd come up and he'd just like whisper something to me and, you know, like, oh, keep in mind or add this. And so that was kind of where the extra layers came in for me, was just him having, you know, the director's perspective on it and being that additional voice. So that I felt like made a really big difference in just the extra nuances of the character that the writer in me maybe hadn't fully realized, or, you know, my homework hadn't gotten me fully to. So,
sure. Well, I think it takes a certain,
yeah.
a special kind of person to be able to be open to that feedback. I mean, you know, a lot of people that write stuff like to own that very much, and they don't like people messing with it. So the idea of remaining open to suggestions from the director, I think, is impressive.
Well, I think it, you know, thank you. And I think it was a testament to Josh, because I trusted him. If I don't trust a director, then I'm a little more skeptical of their notes that maybe don't ring true to me. If they give, you know, if they ask me to do something with it, if I feel it's really contrary, I might have more of a conversation about it and want to make sure that I, as a performer, maintain what I feel is the integrity of that performance, because ultimately, it's my face on the screen. No
yeah.
one's going to go, oh, the director gave her bad direction. They're going to go, that scene sucked.
Yeah,
you know, I didn't believe that. So, but Josh, I very early on in the process, I realized that I really trusted him, because I felt his notes were very intuitive. And so on the rare occasion where I was not comfortable in something that was happening, I was okay with trusting him. You know, that I remember one particular scene I was having a lot of difficulty with. He was giving me a note. I understood the note, but I didn't feel like I was nailing it. And so I was very, you know, concerned about that. And when he finally went, okay, good, you know, let's print that, I was like, really? Really? You really got, you know, is that really playing? He goes, yeah. And I just had this, like, I went, okay, I've trusted him on everything else. And when I finally saw the scene, I went, oh, he was right. It did. You know, it just felt icky inside, but maybe that was a good thing.
Well, it's always interesting to hear how these projects come together, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us about the new project. The film is actually, is it already out on DVD? Or is it?
It is, because a yeah. lot of parts of the country, mm-hmm. Since we have a limited theatrical, just LA and New York, you know, hopefully that'll expand at some point, you know. But in the meantime, we wanted kind of everybody. It's interesting how things are rolling out now, but a lot
yeah.
of times they are now rolling out kind of all at the same time. So people can already, they can go to Amazon or Walmart or Best Buy or some of those online sources and get the DVD or stream it. So, yeah.
And it must suddenly be that as studios or whatever start to see the success of these things that are out there. We talked not long ago with a local fellow here who originates from our area that's now out there doing independent films, and he had the same experience where it actually went direct to DVD, and all of a sudden it caught on, and he had a limited theatrical release after the DVD came out. So that is a very interesting change in the industry. But this means people will be able to see it even if it's not in the big screen somewhere. And so they can search it on Amazon and the typical places these days that you can find DVDs, Judy?
Yes, exactly. And then, you know, they can watch it on their big screen at home.
Yeah, more and more.
People have those now.
Much more and more so, yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
Way bigger than it was when we were watching you on the Waltons, that's for sure.
Oh, I know. And there's color, too. Man.
Well, Judy, it has been a great pleasure to talk with you. I appreciate you taking so much time with us today. Inclusion criteria, again, if nothing else, Google the trailer, folks, and watch it on YouTube, and I think it'll suck you right in, and you're going to want to watch the whole thing. Pleasure to talk to you, Judy. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you so much. You too.
All right. Thank you. Take care.